Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Friday morning. It may be Friday morning before we get out of here, Carlo. Thanks for joining us at Super Talk. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners. Especially our servicemen women out there taking care of us. Well, I guess we have to thank our secret servicemen after tonight's game as well, the official sponsor of Mississippi State baseball tonight.
I could not believe I was reading that correctly.
Yeah, I've had some people like, what is going on? And they had a recruitment booth. like it was like they're just hiring off the street.
I was going to say, are they just taking anybody now?
You should go apply. You can still do the pod, I think.
Don't know if I have the skill set.
Anybody who can bench press 135 40 times, you can do it. You can do it.
You know, someone in the dugout was giving me crap today that everyone thinks they can eat 40 wings here. I'm going to be the one
somebody
to say
in the dugout? Okay. Like one of the players?
No. Oh. It was one of the photographers. I forgot his name.
Okay. I thought you were saying one of the players was listening. I was like, I got to know who it is. Okay.
No.
That'd have been incredible if like Ace Reese had been like, hey, I could eat 40 wings. What's wrong with you? That'd been fantastic.
If I got belittled by one of the players for not being able to eat 40 wings, I think the only way that I'd get back is I have to go to Two Bros and literally film me eating 40 wings.
Yeah.
And there's no stopping. I can't believe people think they can actually do that. Like, it's crazy. That's so many
wings. I don't think I can do that. I know I could do it.
You're lying. You are lying.
No, I know I could do it. I know I could do it. There's no think to it. There's no opinion. It's stone cold fact is what it is.
I thought you said you don't think you could. And I was like,
I did say that. I don't think I could. I know I could.
Oh, okay. I got it.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service men and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, you know what to do. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, get it ordered, get it shipped right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef.
It is what's for dinner. I had some fantastic beef today. I was out at the Farm Bureau Feeding the Hungry event, which, Carlo, basically is like a giant tailgate, a giant communal tailgate. Like, they put the food out there, and they're like, eat whatever you want. So these guys had, like, some tenderloin sliders out there. I was eating some of that. And then they were doing a ribeye competition, and one guy brought his extra ribeye over for us to try, me and Borky, and we were eating that thing. It was unbelievable food out there. Great hospitality as well. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Farm Bureau. And thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Enjoy all that fantastic beef. The weather's looking good this weekend. Fire up the grill. For Mother's Day, make mom a steak. She'll be a happy camper. Happy camper if you do that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the half shell, or shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I'll tell you what I just laughed at when we get done here. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that treat you with respect, that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. There's a box score here from No Context College Baseball. Angelo State defeated St. Mary's tonight 3-2. Angelo State, no hits. Oh. They scored three runs on no hits. St. Mary's, two runs, eight hits, five errors.
Oh my goodness. They had 8 hits and they scored 2 runs and the other team
Yes.
had 0.
Yeah, they had no hits, but they got 3 runs because there were 5 errors. What a
That
tough
is
night. Tough night to be a St. Mary's, whatever they are.
that's a
Not a
weak.
tough night to be a Mississippi State Bulldog. State comes out of the gates with a lot of energy. Valinkas on point tonight, 13 strikeouts. The Auburn player there in the seventh, he didn't get, or the sixth, he didn't get the memo. He didn't read the script. He wasn't supposed to hit a home run there. They were supposed to strike out, let Valinkas get that moment, and we got to get the script to Auburn. I don't know what's going on there. And then I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's in the water, but a third straight game with a grand slam for Mississippi State and a second grand slam on the season for Bryce Chance. The guy goes, what, 37, 38, or I guess like 48 games without a home run. And now he's popped two grand slams in the last three games. State gets off to a 4-0 lead. They never relinquish it. Valinkas with 13 strikeouts on the night. Jack Bauer, 7 outs on 17 pitches, which is one of the most ridiculous stats we'll hear. Dogs with two other home runs in this game absolutely dominate the Auburn Tigers and get the critical game one, 10-3. We're going to talk to Brooks Brian in just a minute about this, but I want your thoughts on it as well. I thought from a pitching, hitting, defense standpoint, this was State's best game of the year, best win of the year.
I would completely agree. If you factor in the opponent also and the how big this series is and how late in the season, this is easily their best performance of the season. I mean, they jumped out to that 4-0 lead, like you said, and honestly, really never felt like after that they weren't in control. They add on the fifth one, I believe, in the third inning, and then after that, it was 5-0. But it was mainly just the Auburn offense wasn't doing anything. I believe it was the Valinkas had a perfect game through 3 innings, and then the guy gets the hit in the fourth to end it. But still, 13 strikeouts. He goes over 100 pitches, and he had been struggling the last couple of weeks. He had not been having his best games. I mean, Friday at Texas, he was good, but before that was just not his game. But he had that performance against Vanderbilt where he had 14, and then he jumps this one a couple of months later. And we talked about this before. This is the most he's pitched in his season. To see that this late in the year is extremely, extremely good. It's a good development. And another thing I want to bring up, Brian, Texas and Auburn's pitching are very similar if
Yes.
you look at ERA for this year. And they struggled a lot in Austin with hitting against good pitchers. And I mean, I guess we're only one game through, but it looked like they had no problem. I mean, two guys, two of the really good pitchers. They
Yeah.
sent him out early.
I thought that State's ability to you think about that Sunday game against Texas where State gets out to the 5-0 lead, but then they let the starter kind of settle back into things and he ends up pitching 5 innings. Not this time. They were able to chase Marciano after the second inning. Auburn has to go to one of its better bullpen arms. That guy throws 60 plus pitches, so he's probably cooked for the weekend. And from the Mississippi State perspective, you get, six and what, 2/3 out of Valinkas, and then Jack Bauer only throws 17 pitches. He'll be more than good to go again on Saturday. So State's bullpen is in a fantastic spot with Duke Stone coming up, who's a guy who I feel like you can trust to get you 5 innings and sort of see where it goes from there. But everybody else is going to be ready to go. We don't have an update on Ben Davis as far as his health. But I would be really surprised if he's not good to go. And we have another health update that we're going to make in just a minute. You may have already heard it on Sports Talk Mississippi today. But I think you think about State's last couple of home series, right? Or last three, really. They lose that game to Georgia 10-9. The pressure's on to immediately bounce back, and they can't do it. Same thing with Tennessee. They lose that Friday game. Can they bounce back? They don't. The LSU game, we talked about that. That was, what, 27, 20 is 54. Do the math, Brian, is what, 81? 81 outs. Every out was pressure. Like, the State trailed most of the games. They had to come from behind in every game. There was never just a moment where you could just kind of breathe and you're like, we got this. We're going to be okay. It just never came. Maybe late in the Sunday game it did.
This
Tonight it's
felt like
4-0, and Valinkas is dealing, and State keeps tacking on runs, and then Auburn would score a run, but State would immediately answer. It was just, I think Mississippi State fans kind of needed a night like this.
it felt like Thursday's game was the first one in honestly a long time where It was an important game that they needed, and they actually got in front instead of started trailing. You know, that LSU game, that whole series you talked about, I mean, they did every one of those home runs and runs just to win. I mean, it wasn't, the series wasn't really, oh, I mean, it was over on Saturday when they got the win, but Sunday's game wasn't over until like the seventh inning. So they
Right.
got maybe 2 innings to relax. Every game at Texas was pretty close. They just couldn't do anything Friday. And then Sunday, obviously the third inning meltdown. But for the first time in a while, it felt like they played with a lead and they controlled the game, which is extremely good development considering this team was number four in the RPI, number four in the rankings, haven't lost an SEC series in 6 weeks. So they're off to a great start and put themselves in a great position to not only take the series, but, you know, command, you know, game two and going forward for the rest of the weekend.
So let's talk about the rest of the weekend real quick. We mentioned Duke Stone getting the start on Friday. As far as Saturday goes, that's still listed as TBD, and we didn't get a chance to ask about this post game with O'Connor, but I there's enough smoke out there for me to believe at this point that Ryan McPherson is going to be that Saturday starter, that he's going to make a return. I would imagine under, you know, very precautionary circumstances. I can't imagine it's going to be, hey, kid, here's the ball. Go give us 7 innings, probably on a pitch count. That I think that makes this Friday game very, very even more so important because if you got both games in the bag, you can play with a play a little looser, right? If you win the series, you know, you'd like to sweep, but if you don't, you're fine. I myself, you know, and I asked Brooks about it. You'll hear it in just a moment. You know. If that game is a rubber game, I would be a little concerned about that's his first start back. But at the same time, this is a veteran guy. He's pitched enough innings that it's not like you're throwing, you know, a first timer out there. But that's just huge news for Mississippi State because I look at it from this. So you've got him if you get him back Saturday, right? And you've got him on a 50 pitch count, let's just say. Well, then next week against A&M, he's probably on a little bit freer pitch count. Maybe you keep him around 50. You know, maybe 50 or 60. See how he reacts. He may not pitch SEC tournament week. You never know how that's going to go, right? You know, if State gets eliminated, week game one, game two, he's probably not going to get to throw. That does mean though that by the time you get to the regionals, he should be 100%. He should be back to where he was. I don't know if you. I would move him to Saturday. I like keeping Tomas Valančiūnas on Friday for right now. Go to McPherson on Saturday and Stone on Sunday. That's as good a 1-2-3 as anybody in the country has. So don't have that completely confirmed. And we didn't ask O'Connor about it, didn't get a chance to tonight. But that is what I have been told that McPherson expects to start for Mississippi State on Saturday. That's huge news for the Bulldogs.
How huge would that be if he comes back and looks like he hasn't lost a step? I mean, that's extremely high expectations after you've missed a few months. But him coming back at this time makes his team really dangerous because they've played most of the conference season without him. Obviously, Charlie Foster's had his ups and downs as well. But you've got guys, you've basically got four guys that have started meaningful SEC games. You know, it's a mixed bag with Foster, but you know what you're getting with. You definitely know what you're getting with Valančiūnas. You know what you're getting with Stone most of the time. And I guess you know what you're getting with McPherson. And as they ramp him up towards tournament time, that regional comes, like you said, he's 100%. I mean, that's a great 1-2-3 combo right there. Duke Stone on Sunday? Are you kidding me? That's a
Yeah,
great Sunday starter.
that's good stuff for Mississippi State if they can get their rotation back into order, especially with the way Bauer is becoming such a weapon. If he can be a guy that you can pitch twice in a weekend,
That's great.
you're starting to see why Baseball America thought he would be the preseason freshman of the year. You know, obviously it hasn't worked out like that, but he's coming on and in a way that, you know, it's going to be a problem for teams. In the postseason, you know, when he comes in, I noticed tonight, you know, and you weren't here for this, obviously, but when Landon Sims came out for Mississippi State, you know, his walkout was Still of the Night by Whitesnake. And as soon as that first note hit, the crowd would kind of pop, right? Because they knew the game was over. Like when Landon Sims came in the game for Mississippi State, the game was over. And tonight, you know, Jack Bauer's walkout is Wolf Mother, Joker and the Thief. And the first couple of those guitar notes, those licks hit. And the crowd popped, and they were like, "Oh, here comes Bauer." They knew he was coming in, and I thought that was a cool little moment there. It's people are starting to realize when Bauer comes into the game, you're in pretty good. He's not as automatic yet as Landon Sims was, but tonight, 7 outs on 17. I mean, he came in the bottom of the 7th or top of the 7th, threw one pitch, got an out. Next inning, I think it was one pitch out, strikeout, two pitches out. I was like, this is ridiculous. He had 4 outs on 9 pitches. And then he throws an 8-pitch 9th inning to finish it up. Unbelievable. All right, let's talk to Brooks Brine. Talk to the former Diamond Dog. Kept him up a little late tonight to get his thoughts on this really big win for Mississippi State. Brooks Brine said he was going to join us here following game one of this crucial series with the Auburn Tigers. He is here. And Brooks, I think we saw Mississippi State's most complete game of the season. Hit it well, pitched it well. Good in the field. Ryder Woodson comes in at the last second as a last-minute replacement. Had a base hit, had a sack fly. So that's great for him, great for Mississippi State. And Valinkas was just dominant. Would you agree with that assessment that this was State's most complete game of the year?
Yeah, 100%, man. Tico was Tico. All around the strike zone all night, 0 walks. The last batter, obviously he was looking for a curveball because that pitch was probably a ball, actually. It was down and away enough.
That was a really good swing. Yeah.
It was an awesome at bat, an awesome swing. And but man, Tico did really well. And I mean, I know the first 6 runs we had were with 2 outs. I know he had Bryce had the grand slam, was 4 of them, but I'm almost certain the other 2 were with 2 outs. And then I don't know how many of the other 4 runs were with 2 outs. Yeah.
When you look at Valinkas, there was some concern, I think, coming into this game that he had, this is the most he's ever pitched in his career. Maybe you want to keep him on Friday and let him have that extra day of rest. For him to come out and pitch the way that he did tonight, I think really shows that, that's a guy that you're going to be able to count on this year, next year, when he's back for his junior season in the postseason. I thought tonight was a real statement game from him.
100%, man. He showed that Bulldog mentality and just he wants the ball. He wanted to stay in the game as long as he possibly could and just challenge hitters, go after hitters. He's got that Friday night mindset that you want to see in your Friday night guy. And to know that we'll have him back next year is such a a positive thing to know that we're going to see him, hopefully 4 or 5 more times this year and then see him again next year. But, man, he's just a battler, competitor, has the mental makeup that you want of a Friday night guy for sure.
Brooks, I was going to ask you, looking at the last series against Texas and then looking at this one against Auburn, I guess we only have one sample size game, but it felt like the hitting and overall approach to the plate was a lot better. Do you think that's because of kind of the way that they took the Nichols game, or what do you think that was the maybe the bigger difference? And you're facing 2 great pitching staffs. They were kind of cold at Texas at times for a lot of the weekend, and tonight it looked like they just dominated from the plate. From really after Ace Reese struck out in the first inning, after that it was kind of lights out.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with all of it. I think Nichols. I heard you guys talk about it earlier today or yesterday, talking about just, in basketball, just seeing it go through the hoop. That's all you need to do a lot of times when you're a shooter. You may be 0 for 10 or 12, but once you see 1 or 2 go through the hoop, you can go on a string of making them. And I think hitting is the same way, whether it's yourself or whether it's the rest of the team, as you see guys get hits and barrel balls up, you even get more confidence, even if you're not doing it at that time. So I think that had something to do with it, getting the hits that we got against Nichols. But I think probably a little more had to do with the pitching staff with Auburn. They're not guys that's going to beat you with velocity. They're going to be the, spot fastballs up 91, 92. And then, man, that lefty pitcher tonight, he had a fastball, then he had the curve and the changeup. He's really good. I think being, only on 5 days rest and he was 2 days short hurt him a little bit, but I can see him being really good moving forward. And he just had a bad game, but I think Texas has more velocity and that could have been part of it too, where the Auburn guys don't have as much velocity.
That said, though, were you surprised at how successful was State was considering some of the struggles they've had hitting the breaking pitches this season?
I was. Butch kind of said it when they interviewed him in the third inning. Man, that play by the shortstop with two outs where he rounded the ball on Beavis in the first inning. And, that's just a routine ground ball. And he shuffles, thinks he has more time than he does, and Beavis beats it out. That was a huge play in the game. Sometimes it comes down to one pitch or one play. And
Yeah.
that was huge. That could have been, he could have gotten out of the inning with eight pitches. And it ended up being, I think, 32 or 33
Yeah.
pitch in just because of that one play where the shortstop took too long. But yeah, man, I think he's really good. He's his mentality up on the mound is just he doesn't get phased. I know tonight just wasn't his night. We saw that with Tico a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's going to be good moving forward.
When we think about being aggressive at the plate, Mississippi State tonight, 16 hits, but 10 strikeouts and only two walks. It feels like the game plan was swing. Is that something that happens? When you think about a hitting coach, do they come out and just tell you, like, guys, we want to be aggressive tonight. Well, let's swing the bats and let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I felt that coming into this weekend just from the simple fact if you look at Auburn's pitching numbers, they don't walk many guys. So, as a team, I think the coaches are going to tell them, hey guys, they're going to be around the plate. So be aggressive early in the count. We'll try to run up pitch count, especially on the starter being 2 days shorter on rest. But everything else, man, when you see a strike, let's swing because they're not going to walk anybody.
So let's talk a little bit about TBD because, as I talked about today on Sports Talk Mississippi, there's a lot of smoke that TBD might as well start saying Ryan McPherson, that he's going to get the start for Mississippi State on Saturday. I spoke with a couple of sources, and they both have said that's a very real possibility. If that is the case, how does Mississippi State have to handle him? I can't imagine it's just, hey, go out there, give us 7 innings, 100 pitches, and go at it. They have to be a little more careful than that. How do you handle a guy coming back to a first start in this situation?
Yeah, so I started thinking that when I heard that Bauer was up in the bullpen tonight, my first thought went to, I feel like McPherson will start Saturday because of that.
You thought
And
McPherson
I
might come
think
in tonight and get an inning?
no, I was thinking that maybe Bauer would be the starter Saturday.
I got you.
And with him coming in, or when I heard first on TV that he was warming up in the pen, I was like, if he's warming up, he's obviously not starting Saturday. So my feeling then was McPherson would start. And I've always felt for the past 2 weeks that when McPherson does come back, he would start. It may be a 50 pitch count, but I felt like he would start because then he could, before the game, long toss in the outfield, do everything that he normally does before a start. Whereas if you're a reliever, you don't get to do all that. You warm up a different way. Even if you know you're coming in, say, the start of an inning, you still warm up totally different mindset. So my thought was always when he comes back, it will be in a starter role. It may be 50 pitches, 60 pitches, whatever that is, but I do think he'll be a starter role. And when I saw Bauer, I immediately started thinking McPherson would be the Saturday starter. And I'm thinking he'll probably be on my guess would be like a 60 pitch count, 3 innings, 4 innings type deal, and then hand it to the bullpen.
Brooks, I was going to ask. We talked about how important the game one was against LSU to walk it off and how that set the tone for this weekend. Do you think that could be the start of something similar this weekend? And, how big is a game one win when you dominate just that much and then you got to go at it, less than 24 hours later?
Yeah, I think it's big, man. Everybody knows Tico's our guy right now, especially with McPherson being on the shelf. But just to see him, and we talked about this several weeks ago. When Tico struggles, the rest of the pitching staff kind of, that's kind of in the back of their mind, man. Our guy struggled a little bit or got beat. And to know that he went out there and did what he did. And for our guys to see, man, do not walk people. When you don't walk people, and you don't give them free bases, it's a lot harder for teams to beat you. And Auburn's been that way all year too. They don't walk many guys. And when you don't do that and you make teams hit the ball and beat you, it's hard to do. Especially when your pitchers aren't just throwing it down the middle. So I think game one is huge, especially for us with Tico going and with McPherson still on the shelf, hopefully maybe just until Saturday.
And another thing, O'Connor pointed out in postgame, Auburn did not get the leadoff man on one time tonight. He said, you know, it's just really tough to score when the first guy is always, you're always starting with one out. I thought that was a really good point. Only two walks total in this game. State walked twice, and State didn't give up a walk in this game. Real quick, I wanted to go back to McPherson. If he is the guy on Saturday, does that concern you, him coming back in such, this could be a high leverage situation. It's not a given that State's going to win game two in this series. That could be, you know, a situation where they need the Saturday game to get the series. Does it concern you bringing him back in such a high leverage situation for his first start since, you know, week three of the conference series since season?
Not at all. I think he's got the mindset to go out there and know what he's coming back into, and be prepared for that. If he was a freshman, or if he hadn't started 3 or 4 SEC weekends already, I may be concerned with that. But man, I think he's got the mindset to know, you know, and like I said, they'll have a game plan with the coaching staff and him to know, hey, you know, this is how many pitches I'm going to throw. And I'm not going to overdo it, but I'm going to go out there and be a bulldog and have the mental capacity to know to do what I know that I can do. And but I don't have any concern at all on that.
I tell you, we talked a lot about Jacob Parker when we had you on Tuesday, and he's certainly an outstanding freshman. But we are really starting to see Jack Bauer round into form. Mississippi State has got two freshmen here that, I mean, they're going to both be probably top 10 picks when their time comes if they continue to go the way they are. Parker looks like a guy who could be SEC Player of the Year before his career here is at Mississippi State. I'm trying to think back 97, 98. Did you guys have any freshmen like that were like, they had no business being in college baseball, I guess is my point. Both of those guys should be riding the bus somewhere in the minors right now. Mississippi State's very blessed to have two players like that.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind is Brian Weiss. He came in as a freshman. You know, he was a dual guy, pitcher, hitter, and he ended up being just a hitter and batted close to 400 one year. But he's probably the one that I can remember in my 3 years there was Weiss coming in as a freshman. Travis Chapman was a big addition as a freshman. But as far as, you know, maybe not supposed to have been playing college ball, which means he would have gotten drafted out of high school. Maybe not that. Obviously, having Eric DuBose there, but I wasn't there his freshman year. But he was a big get and not going the draft.
I'm trying to think, by the way, we were talking after the game. I wonder if three in a row for games with a grand slam is a school record. It's got to be close to it, right? But that's a crazy
Probably
stat.
two. Probably two in a row.
I mean, yeah, you don't wouldn't normally have that, but State's had a grand slam three games in a row. With going back to Sunday's game with Chance. What do you think about tomorrow's game? Friday game, Duke Stone on the mound for Mississippi State. Gotta feel like State has got the momentum right this second, but you know, it could vary. Auburn's a good enough team, they're going to bounce back. What do you think about this Friday game?
Yeah, Auburn's not gonna give up, man. Butch Thompson is one of the best out there, and they're going to follow his lead, and he's built a really good team this year. I mean, I really like their team. I know tonight did not go their way, basically from the third hitter on, but they're going to be ready to play for sure, no doubt. And Duke, I think the key with Duke is don't give up free passes. You know, the few games there, about maybe 2 or 3 weeks in a row where, you know, he walked 5 or 6 a game, and that made him have to pitch more pitches. And he was always dealing with traffic on the bases. Whenever he throws strikes and doesn't walk guys, he's really, really good. So I feel like that he'll do the same thing Tico did tonight. He may walk a couple, but as long as he stays away from walking 5 or 6 and just make Auburn beat you with the sticks, I think is going to be the game plan.
O'Connor talked about on Tuesday, you know, beating these teams, it all starts with, you know, you kind of get game, you get rewarded in game three if you know, wear down their arms in game one. And I feel like that was kind of a big polar opposite for State tonight. Only what they used Jack Bauer and Tomas, and Auburn burned a few of their arms. I mean, their starters didn't even see the third inning. So do you think that's a real thing where in game three, it's State might have a pitching advantage just because of how many arms that they used on Friday, or excuse me, Thursday?
Yeah, so I think probably the only arm that Auburn burned out of the pen was probably the first guy that came out that threw 60 something pitches, the freshman. I think he's probably obviously the only one that won't come back this weekend. The other guys were, from what I can remember, were two or three batters, which they may not throw tomorrow, but I think that they could all come back on Saturday. But I do definitely like what, Bauer threw 20 pitches, maybe 18 to 20,
17.
uh,
Seven outs on
17.
17 pitches. This is a ridiculous number.
Yeah, so he'll for sure be able to come back Saturday. So that means tomorrow you throw all your bullets tomorrow. If you've got a chance in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth inning tomorrow, you throw all your bullets to make sure you try to win the series, and then figure out what to do on Saturday when it gets to that point. But I definitely think that I like right now that they've got one person out of the pen that shouldn't be able to go the rest of the weekend. We don't have any that shouldn't be able to go. We should be full speed.
7:30 first pitch tomorrow at Dunnenable Field. It might be a little rowdy in there, Brooks. I don't know.
It may be, man. Yeah.
And we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens. I old man like me, brother. I don't know if I make it. I might bring a pillow to the press box with me. Brooks Bryan, appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff from Brooks, man. Really appreciate his insight as always. Getting him twice this week was really, really good. And we're going to continue to bring him on because I think, for baseball season especially, he adds so much to this podcast. So I really appreciate him being a part of it. All right, let's move into the last little bit of the show here. And that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. We just talked about Two Brothers. I think we may shame Carlo into a career decision pretty soon. We'll see
Career
how,
decision.
what, I mean, I'm just saying, you may never be the same. People talked about it when they fought Mike Tyson. They were never the same after that.
Ryan, we're talking about wings here, man. I'm
Obviously,
gonna
you're talking about going head to head with me. You may never be the same, young man.
you got Tyson punch me at the end of it if I lose?
I might. I don't. I'm not gonna punch you at all. The wings are
Gonna
gonna do
eat
the.
my ear too?
Do the. I'm ferocious. I eat your soul.
My back is broken.
I break his body.
Spinal.
I'll fade into Bolivian. Anyway, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Oh, by the way, it's the so tonight. I was talking to baseball SID Logan Lowry, and he was told you pointed out. Auburn had their SID or their guy in the press box. He's like, I got him on the wings. And I was like, what'd you think? He's like, they're great. And I was like, you know what? Maybe somebody from Auburn has some common sense after all. Great job. We appreciate you. Only two more home games, allegedly. At Mississippi State, I feel like we're going to have some more for sure. But get those Two Brothers smoked wings while you can. And then when you get a chance, head over to Two Brothers in the Cotton District to enjoy some smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you to Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are looking for business technology, you need to see my friends at Advantage Business Systems. A company that takes care of their customers after the sale. Anybody can sell it to you. Who shows up for you afterwards? That's the difference maker. That's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. Because they're in Mississippi just like you, they can fix your problems a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon and Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear, stuff you can't find anywhere else? You'll find it at Maroon and Co. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white, they've got it at Maroon and Co. Check out their incredible selection of maroon and white gear, the interlocking, the state script, the what's the word I'm looking for there? The M over S. It's all right there for you at Maroon and Co. MaroonandCo.com or in store at Maroon and Co. You can use our promo code Thunder15 to save 15% off. No, I don't know where Carlo went. He's no longer with us, I guess. Might have lost him. So be it. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville, the only place to go is Maroon and Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, the heat is on. It's almost summer, and at Scruggs, they are cranking up the summer savings right now. There he is. Right now, they've got great deals to keep your land and wallet in great shape. For the pros, get 0% financing for 36 months on all commercial mowers. And if you're out there looking to get around in the summer adventures, you can grab a Gator with 1.9% financing for 36 months. And for the big projects, you can clean up the back 40 with compact tractors. 0% for 72 months, or the 5 Series tractor, 0% for 84 months. That's 7 years, guys. It'll be 2033 before you got to worry about that. Keep your lawn looking sharp all summer long. Zero-turn mowers right now, 0% for 36 months. All these offers are going to run through August 4th. Don't let summer pass you by. Head over to Scruggs right now in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Welcome back.
We missed you. I'm not sure what happened there.
You did something. That's all I know.
My hands.
You
are
did
off
it. I didn't do it. I'm just sitting here. Just
well,
saying.
We're back now.
We got to talk about Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a locally what? Good Hope Land and Timber.
Yeah.
We talk about them. If you're trying to buy or sell land in the state of Mississippi, call Good Hope Land and Timber today. However big that purchase is, a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, they can get you taken care of. But more importantly, if you're already a landowner and you need to help managing your land, managing your timber, managing your resources, that's where Good Hope Land and Timber really shines. Good people, trustworthy people, Mississippi State people, let them have a chance to earn your business. Give them a call today at 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, let's update the RPI. Mississippi State up to 6 in the RPI. Here's your top 6. UCLA, Georgia Tech, Texas, Auburn, who did not drop, Alabama, and Mississippi State. I say again that unless Alabama goes on a really hot streak, they need to get probably 5 more wins in their final 6 games. They're probably not going to be a top 8 seed. So Mississippi State is looking really good. I've been saying it for the past few weeks that I thought 17-13 would be enough. And Robbie Faulk, you guys maybe remember Robbie Faulk, no longer with us, obviously. But
No longer with us.
God rest his soul. But he told me tonight from beyond the pale that I know this, but I hadn't thought about it. State winning the Governor's Cup, the committee views that as an SEC win. So if state finishes 17-13, they're really 18 conference wins. If they finish 18-12, they're really 19 conference wins. So 17-13 plus the Governor's Cup, I think that's going to be enough. If State wins one more game in this series and they just don't get swept at Texas A&M, I think you're going to be talking about Mississippi State hosting a regional and a super regional if they advance.
Yeah, so that makes them, after Thursday's game, 16-10.
They technically,
with the government
allegedly, government. Put an asterisk on it if you want to. They're 16. They have 16 SEC wins. Yes,
from the pale.
Right.
Yes.
Plus, technically, I think that you should mention they did beat Tulane, who used to be in the SEC. So maybe you throw that in there as well. I don't know. But, yes, so State with 15 actual conference wins, but they still have that win over Ole Miss. And Kendall Rogers has told us that before. The committee views that the same as any other SEC game. And for State, to have – I can't stress enough how important State's 4-0 record against Ole Miss is at this point. State has 10 quad one wins. 4 of those, 40% of those wins are against Ole Miss. 3 of them were on the road, and 1 of them were at a neutral site. That's just taking care of business in a situation where, even if you were 3-1, that could have counted against you. So that's good stuff for Mississippi State. Got to think if State can find a way to win another one, they're just going to flip flop with Auburn, and they'll be 4.
Yeah.
And at that point, Carlo, you can, if you're a Mississippi State fan, I feel like you can feel pretty confident booking hotel rooms for 2 weekends in Starkville, late May, early June.
Yeah, one more win in this series would be huge. And the fact that they're able to win game one, I also feel like is really important, because if you go down 0-1, then you're fighting to only win the series and the pressure's on. But not that the pressure's not on, but you have 2 opportunities to get one game and win an important series against a really good team. I like you said, probably just flip-flop with them, wait on Alabama to finally drop out of that.
Mm-hmm.
If they get one more win, that all but locks up the regional. And you're talking about some super regional stuff. If they can, man, if they can win 2 this weekend and 2 at A&M,
you're in great shape.
I mean, plus so, the Governor's Cup, like you said, that would that be 19 at that point?
That would be 19. So here's what Alabama has in front of them. They're at South Carolina this weekend. So you have to take into that into account. They're probably going to get all 3. They could drop 1. But in all likelihood, Alabama, who has 13 conference wins, will have 15 when we get to Monday. Then they finish the season hosting Ole Miss. That will be a huge series for Ole Miss. Ole Miss has Texas A&M. If we're going to look at A&M, A&M has they are at Ole Miss this weekend. And I'm just telling you guys, I know it pains you physically. It may make you throw up a little bit in your mouth.
Say
Just
it.
keep it down.
Say it.
You need to cheer for the Rebels this weekend. All right. The Rebels are not, Ole Miss is not a threat to Mississippi State hosting possibilities. State is ahead of them in the RPI. They have four head-to-head wins with them. Ole Miss beating up Texas A&M this weekend drops them down further. You can stay ahead of them. And also maybe it puts a little doubt in their minds so that when you go out there next week, you can get that series from the Aggies as well. And then you would like Ole Miss to do the same with Alabama and just go ahead and get them out of the way. Every time Ole Miss wins, State's resume gets better. So the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And in this case, Ole Miss is both the enemy and the enemy of the enemy. So just go
So
with it,
you say,
guys.
so you're saying Ole Miss is our friend?
Not saying that. Not saying that at
That's
all.
kind of what I heard.
Under no, sir, I never said that. And no, I never said that. Never said it. Never came out of my mouth. Why would I do that? So maybe that's why the Secret Service was here. They heard I was doing a Trump impression. So
I still
Mississippi
can't
State.
believe they sponsored this series.
It's so weird. All right, so
It's
number
so
six in
odd.
the RPI. We'll continue to monitor that. I expect if State wins this series, they're probably fourth or fifth. And if they sweep this series, they're definitely they'll definitely. I don't think four. I don't think they can do better than four is the issue for State.
No.
Because it's so weird, right? Because Georgia's sitting there at 16, but they're going to win the SEC. But they can't. State cannot get ahead of UCLA. I don't think they can get ahead of Georgia Tech, unless Texas. And who does Texas finish the season with this
Unless
year?
they implode, I don't think they're going to get in front of them. The
Yeah,
Cavs probably.
Texas is at Tennessee, and then they have Missouri at home. So they're definitely getting three wins in the Missouri series. They'll likely finish like 5-1 at worst. You're not getting ahead of Texas. So, but that being said, if State finishes four and they're the four seed or the five seed in the tournament, I think the top four seeds are going to be UCLA, Georgia Tech, Texas. I think Georgia will be the fourth seed. I think State right now is trending to be the five seed, which would be just fine.
That's
And
fine.
honestly, if you're the five seed, if everything plays the way it should, could very easily be paired with the Hattiesburg Regional and could see a Mississippi State Southern Miss Super Regional, which in Starkville, I would like State's chances to win that. So.
Brian, you've talked about how this maybe this year has been a little underwhelming with kind of, the number one portal class and
Yeah.
everything. If they're able to get the five seed in the tournament, would you
It turned.
still keep
You
seeing
can't
this?
say it's underwhelming at that point. You cannot. I mean, at that point, let's look at it like this. If, let's say, State wins this series and they win the next series, right? That would mean since the two
Sweeps.
sweeps, they would be, hold on, let me do the math real quick. Six, seven, they would be nine. They would be nine. They'd be 11 and 11 and four. Since those two, I mean, that's finishing strong. You put yourself into that position. You get McPherson back. At that point, you're the team I thought you were in February when I said, I think this team will win the national title. That's where I was in February. You can get back to that if they finish that strong. I would absolutely believe that again. So we shall see. All right. We'll be back on Sunday. We'll have a little Mother's Day treat for you. Hey, Mom, give Mom the gift of Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone, Thunder and Lightning. It's what Mom wants, is to hear our voices. We'll wish all mothers a happy Mother's Day on Sunday when we recap this series and we see what game two and three bring. For Carlo Barone and Brooks Brian, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.